Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sunday morning, 7:421. This is also Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, but this is Church Order, Part 11. We'll continue looking today into the proper church order. We have suffered greatly in the body of Christ because the church has not had its leadership in the proper order. We know that Satan has come in among us and sabotaged. But we, the awakened ones, are not going to allow this to happen any longer. Speak that the church is in divine order, that the foundation is the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now we're going to look at our foundational scriptures right quick before I get into this portion today. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, last week, Danny kind of gave a testimony of what the Lord had spoken to him. He was wondering why he just seemed like in certain areas he has just not been able to get on top of things. It's like he's just up one day and down the next. And the Lord spoke to him, well, you've never been in a church until now that you had a foundation. And I venture to say, when the church gets in proper order, this will not occur. And as I read these foundational scriptures, we're going to see that. That as the apostles and prophets are put in place, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, there will be maturity come to the body of Christ that we need to take the gospel into the nations and do what we need to do. We're asking right now people that are flip-flopping all over the place, babies, and just any problem they have, they call CBN, used to be TBN and CBN, and all these ministries that have prayer chains to get something done for them, instead of rising up, walking in the Spirit, using their faith. See, they haven't come to maturity. They don't know how to do it. Yeah. This is how Satan is sabotaged. Okay, Matthew 16. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And he said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm having a little bit of trouble articulating here. Thank you, Lord. So what's going on here? God, he gave 12 apostles, told Jesus to appoint 12 apostles. What was the purpose of that? To train them to be ready when the day of Pentecost happened, after death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. Holy Spirit's very strong here today. I feel it creeping up my legs right now. Thank you, Jesus. So he wanted a foundation set for his church, the right foundation. That's where we have erred. We've not had the right foundation. Okay, Ephesians 2. 2:19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon. This house is built on the foundation. The house of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. No wonder we haven't been the light of the world. Every wind of doctrine that comes by blows our house down. You know what I'm saying? Everything. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. See, when you got a good foundation, what happens? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. The last teaching I talked to you about, walking with Jesus on the wind and the waves and not being deterred, not being swayed. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So this is the way the Lord wants it to be. And that's why we have to begin to speak. The church is in divine order. Okay, Psalms 133. A united church, I mean, just like this nation. We hear constantly about how divided our nation is. I don't believe that. I believe 80% of the population is in one accord concerning who they want to be their president and what they want for this nation. They want God back in the classroom. They want God back in America. The fake news, a very small percentage. Because they have the narrative, because they have the media. Their voice is shouting out all across. It's just like I said, the Grinch's dog with the big megaphone. He barked through that megaphone and it sounded like this big monster. They're just a big monster. They're just a big voice. But people have to decide, and many have. Don't listen to them anymore. That's why you don't go to a rally or listen to a rally or anything else that you don't hear him say, turn off the fake news. Don't listen to the fake news. He's called them out for, what, 5 or 6 years now? Fake news. They're all fake news. Don't believe anything they say. I would say that one of the biggest areas where Satan has sabotaged the church is in taking dominion. Most Christians don't believe they have any power over anything or to do anything. That's why they call this one and that one and everyone else to pray this off of me. Just like this word the Lord said to me. I'm going to read it again. I've already said to you, come. Come and follow me. Walk by faith just like I did. When you do, the waves and wind will come to try to stop you. Don't look at them. Look at me. When you keep your eyes on me, you will have victory. Most want a testimony, but they don't want the test. No test, no testimony. Like Joyce Meyer used to say, all you do is end up with the monies. Overcome by the blood and your testimony. How can you be saved from the fire or the water or the lion's den unless you go into it? They think they should not have to go through anything. And if they do, they want to blame the pastor for it. Most are screaming, take it away. But use my grace and walk through it. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. How will you learn to walk in victory if I take it away? Keep your eyes on me and not the wind and the waves, and you will see victory. That comes from not having a foundation. Why do you think Jesus took them out there in the boat? Let's see if they're getting it. Let's see if they're starting to get a hold of it. Well, Peter was starting to, wasn't he? All right. This is Psalms 133. I say, and I'm not going to hear that garbage saying that we are divided, that we're so skewed and we're so divided. And because, see, they're pushing civil war. No, this is a revolution. It's not a civil war. We don't want a civil war. Rip our nation apart. We want revolution. This is a revolution. I've had a couple words about the second revolution back a year or so ago. This is what's happening. We're taking our nation back. It's a revolution. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. See, when we were talking about the tabernacle on Wednesday night, that we are the temple now. We are the third temple, or Jesus, he inhabits us. He said, you tear down this temple, and I'll build one back in 3 days. He's talking about his body. And they anointed Aaron, the high priest, poured the oil on his head and went down to the hem of his garment. That symbolizes what's on the head flows down all over the whole body. And the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessed, even life forevermore. God has anointed us as the body of Christ to take this country back, to take the gospel into the nations. He has anointed us as a church in unity to do so. We're the lighthouse. We're the city on the hill. Okay, we're the force in the earth. I would say, okay, pastors have become the nursery workers. This right here, I said this statement. I would say that one of the biggest areas where Satan has sabotaged the church is in taking dominion. Or what I'll rephrase that, not taking dominion. Not taking dominion. Pastors have become the nursery workers, and every time someone needs something, they go to the pastor. I remember years ago when we had our first house church, I remember seeing a former pastor's wife in the grocery store, and she said, it's like nursery worker, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. Well, see, God never meant for it to be that way. There will always be babies, yes. And there's nothing wrong with giving a baby a bottle. But when you got a 200-pound sheep that still wants to be bottle-fed, think, no. They don't know how to use their faith or take dominion over the devil and his works. We nearly lost our country over this. You can call it what you want. Communism, socialism, Marxism, fascism. You just name it. It all comes back to the church didn't take dominion. This is where it falls into our lap. Well, it's because we have the Democrats are in power. Really? No. It's because the church has not been in power. They have not taken dominion. They let Satan roughshod and take everything while they sat in front of their TV sets and did their kumbaya. But we can't fault them. The leaders weren't in line. They were not in order either. We all have to take a part of this. All right. We awakened in Sodom and Gomorrah and wondered, how did we get here? The idiot box, the movie screen. The church stopped taking dominion and Satan and his minions moved right in. Isn't that what the Democrats did? Suddenly, Satan used them to come in and take away our freedoms. Here's where we sit now in history. Like it or not, it's time for us as the body of Christ to get in divine order and start kicking the devil out of everything that touches our lives. Not one word spoken we don't refute. Not one place we go we see something we don't like, we don't speak and change. We're at a critical point. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Genesis 18. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So God trusted Abraham because what? His children would follow in his footsteps, and their children would follow in his footsteps. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous, where is then the city? Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Can you see here? The church has not asked God. When all of this was happening to our nation all these years, we have not petitioned God and said, will you not spare the righteous either? The only way God can come into the earth is if we petition him. He has given the earth to man. He's like a leaser, a renter. He's a landlord. He's given it to us. He said, tend it, keep it, occupy it. And when we don't do it, who's to blame? And he will intervene if we start asking him to intervene. That's what's going on now. We begin to petition and then proclaim what we desired. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all this city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. We know the story. It goes all the way down to only 10 left. And he said, I think if Abraham would have taken it down to the wire, if there's only one, I think it would have said, I'll do it for one. But he stopped at 10. In chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Why didn't Lot petition the Lord? It talks about his righteous soul was vexed every day, and he just put up with it. And it just grew. That's why the Lord stopped by Abraham's first, because he knew Lot wasn't going to do it. And he didn't want to destroy the city. He's not about destruction. But before they lay down, see, that's kind of like the way it is in the church. There's some that'll petition the Lord and proclaim, and there's others, they just let it get worse and worse. Lord, it's time for the rapture now. Come get me. I've ruined this place. Let me see if I can ruin heaven too. Lord said, no, already been there, done that. And you know the result of the one that did that. He got kicked out. That's the way it's going to be. God won't permit that in heaven. And he doesn't want his men permitting it in the earth. And he pressed upon the... Verse 4, But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now, y'all know you're noticing through every source how much the LGBTQ is being pushed right now. Like I said, it seems bigger than life because they have the media. But the truth is only about 1%, 1.8% of the population are even gay. You know how little amount that is in comparison to all? A little bitty tiny minute is trying to push this garbage on the whole world? And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. Now listen to this. This is Lot. And the Lord said, his righteous soul was vexed. Listen to what he says here. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He's telling the angels, don't be mean to those homos. They've come there to rape the angels. And he said, oh, don't treat them so. There's a problem. There's America right there. Well, we don't want to hurt their feelings. This is the church of the day. We don't want to offend anybody. You know what I'd have done if I'd have been an angel? I'd have kicked Lot out there. I said, let them have your way with you. Maybe if you get rear-ended a few times, you might wake up and you might realize this doesn't wash. I thought, unbelievable. Behold, now I have two daughters. He's going to send his innocent daughters out. Now I'm talking about, you talk about messed up society. This man, by living in this place, got messed up. He heard fake news and he adapted. Instead of following like Abraham, God's friend, he got messed up with the society and the push of the LGBTQ and the Black Lives Matter and all this garbage. He let it brainwash him to where he was thinking like them and acting like them. I mean, their hay had to have been that way because they hadn't raked him already. Now we'll keep going here. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will ye deal worse with thee than with them? Now they're threatening Lot. We're going to rape you. We're going to sodomize you because you won't send these men out to us. See, there's those that do it and those who support those who do it, they're both as bad. Romans chapter 1 talks about those. They applaud those who do it, even though they don't do it. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So what happens? The angels eventually find, you know, his wife, two daughters, and Lot. Send them out of the city and destroy the city. God had to wipe them all out. There wasn't anybody standing in the gap but Abraham, and he stopped at 10. You know, I personally don't think someone that does this to children, there is any coming back from that. But only God is the righteous judge, and only He knows that someone could change their heart. I don't know. But, I mean, to me, this sounds just like where we live today. I'm going to read something to you. This is from the book Dominion. It's called The Desire to Take Dominion is Biblical. It has taken a long time to outlive the stigma of triumphalism, with which Constantine branded the church in the 4th century. But we now have opened doors toward our understanding of what the second Adam actually came to do. The first Adam lost the dominion over creation that God had given him, and the second Adam came to restore it. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What is it that was lost? Adam's dominion over creation. We have now shed our inhibitions over theologizing about taking dominion. I mean, you talk about dominion, the few times I've talked about dominion to ministers, or one minister in particular. Oh. It's like, oh. Like it's bad. It's a bad thing. Dominion theology is not a flashback to Constantine triumphalism, but it certainly is a new call to action for a triumphant church. Dominion theology gives us a coherent understanding of what God has revealed in the Bible, the Logos, and what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. That's the Rhema. Taking dominion is not some kind of aggrandized human socio-political scheme. Rather, it is the design of the Creator of the universe Himself for the future of the human race that He put here on earth. We cannot live this way. We can't continue this way. Nothing will be left. Why do you think God had to reset? Because He knew what happened in the days of Noah. He said, when I come again, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. It is like the days of Noah right now. We cannot depend on anyone else. We are the caretakers. We will stand before the Lord and give an account of what we did with what He gave us to do, the talents, the parable of the talents. We can use all the help we can get from the real president, the leaders in the military, but ultimately they were not the ones that were given the charge. It is we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in divine order and functioning as His body. I want to read to you a few quotes here. History belongs to the intercessors. That's Walter Wink. Certain things will happen in history if we pray rightly. Richard Foster. I agree with these men, but it is not in prayer alone. It rests in a combination of petition and then proclamation. Proclamation is taking authority or taking dominion over. All right, let's go back to the beginning. I want y'all to know these things back and forward so when you come across somebody, you can lay it out to them. We need to quit accommodating these babies and this. How do I put that? Well, let me just keep going. It'll come out. All right, this is Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You wonder why the devil has infiltrated all seven mountains of culture? Because we didn't do that. We have not done that. Now, there's always been a few. But the church as a whole, huh? All right, Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What's going to happen if you don't dress and keep it? Weeds. Here's the parable of the tares and the wheat. The Lord said, don't pull up the wheat, or don't try to pull the tares out. Leave the wheat till the time of the end, lest you harm the wheat. Well, we're in the time of the end where the tares are really bad. They're really bad. But as we speak, there's operations going on that's taking those tares out of the wheat. We're in the end times. How do we do this? Okay, let's go to Romans 4. We need to get in a habit. You know, we've been raised in our culture that we're kind of sarcastic about things, or you're always saying opposite of what we really want. We need to be literal and truthful. We need to say exactly what we want. And quit being so, it's kind of like sarcastic. We are just, you know, always saying what we don't want or what we don't mean. Maybe it's because we're the jingle generation where we, all the commercials and all the things that we've heard through movies and everything else, it's gotten us to this place. See, they have brainwashed us all in our speech to not speak pure speech. A lot of mixture that we have to get our minds renewed to come out of. All right, this is verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. All right, Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, Abraham was God's friend, and so are we. Jesus said, I'm not looking for servants, I'm looking for friends. People that he can talk to and get them to, you know, ask. Petition, proclaim. We know what God wants. All right. I would like to ask you to make this a priority. Don't allow yourselves to become a nursery worker to these lazy, fat sheep. A baby is another affair. Always lead them in the way of responsibility. They are responsible for their own fate, not you. Quit coddling them. Bring them back to the Word of God, standing themselves. If, oh, would you pray? Please pray. You say, well, I'll agree with you, and I'll agree with you that you'll speak to the mountain, and that mountain will be removed out of your life. Put it in their court. This is the only way the body of Christ is ever going to grow up or start to mature and see. There's another way except, you know, CBN or TBN. There is another way. Oh, I just need your prayers. Like I don't. Like I have nothing else to do. They're just need-minded. Feed me, feed me. These are children tossed to and fro. I want a cookie! Hand them some broccoli. I'm telling you. Who doesn't want a cookie? I want a cookie. I want a cookie too. But I have to eat broccoli. And I like broccoli. But that's my point. Somebody's got to be responsible. Somebody has to stand up and say, this is the way you do it. That's over. The church age is over. All right, Ephesians 4. He that descended in the same is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that will henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, man may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I remember one time, as after I'd been on a program when I used to have the station out wherever between Middle and Odessa, I remember a lady calling me, wanting me to pray for her and everything. And I told her, I said, well, if you'll come, you know, we meet on Sunday morning and hear the word. No, she didn't want to do that. I wouldn't pray for her. Not going to do it. I remember Keith Moore talking about a woman coming to healing school, and she was terminal. And she wanted them to pray for her. She said, well, I want you to sit in on some of the sessions. She said, oh, no. He said, we're fixing to have a session. No, my daughter and I, we're going to go shopping. So they're wanting someone to pray them off. Pray it off of me. Get it off of me. Needy, needy, needy. Greedy, greedy, greedy. When Jesus saw cripples, what did he do? He said, rise up and walk. He put it in their court. We must get these lazy, bottle-fed believers using their faith and stir them up to get in the game and start changing their circumstances instead of calling every one of them to know how to pray for them or pray it off of them. So I called everybody they know to pray it off of them. I got to go shopping. Would you pray for me? Here's a quote by this woman's name is Mary Alice. She is a well-known intercessor. I don't know who she is, but anyway, every time we pray, if we do so correctly, God's mighty power is released and made available to bring victory and breakthrough into even seemingly impossible situations. In many cities and nations, God's power has been withheld for years, not because of God's reluctance to act, but rather because God's people have lacked the spiritual understanding necessary to break through and use His power to see their prayers answered. Like Abraham. Ezra 22:30. So I sought for a man among you that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now we understand how we got here. God is raising up Joshua that will speak God's words and change things. One more scripture here. Joshua chapter 10. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and lasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He's looking for those who will decree. And so he can work. He can act. He can do his works. His glory can be seen. All right, it must start with us. We've been doing it. But we can't let these people, I don't care if they know nothing at all. You may have to give them a slap like an aqua velvet moment. Like, and they can say, thanks, I needed that. A scripture, something. Well, you know, I don't need to pray for you. All you need to do is say, speak to the mountain, say to your problem, get out of here, leave me alone, I don't believe you. Just, you know, be gone in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Give them something, anything. That'd start moving in the right direction. Get that codependency thing off. The church is age is over. And we're fixing to see a bunch of arrest of church leaders, I believe it. God is draining the swamp in the church. It's coming down. It's like that dream I had. It's come back to me so many times. I was underground in D.C. This was before I knew about dumbs. I was underground. And I could feel the building shaking and the dust was falling down. And it was like the Lord said, I'm shaking it. It's all coming down. The church is too. The corruptness. All the swamp is coming down. It's in everything. Okay.